Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Bear Insider, Ultimate Insider Podcast. I am Mike Pulaski. Today, we've got the great Jim McGill back with us again. We just went over the offense in our last podcast. Today, we're going to talk defense. And so, obviously, I look at offense and defense with a different eye in that I played offense, I know offense, and I'm always going against defense. So I'm going to look at defense as a quarterback, kind of guys, how they apply, what I would expect from them from that side. And obviously, Jim's going to come with a lot of the recruiting knowledge, with the understanding of the guys who weren't there, his take as a reporter, as a guy who covered the team outside as well. So, Jim, I'm going to let you kick it off today on the defensive side of the ball. Take us where you will.
So, Mike, yesterday we went over offensive numbers, and there were some things to be optimistic about. In terms of numbers, not a lot to be optimistic about coming into this season based on last season's performance. You look at some of the stats, 11th in scoring defense at almost 38 points a game in conference, 9th in sacks with 24, 10th in yards per game at 463. We'll get into the pass defense a little bit later, but those numbers are even worse. One thing they did okay was rush defense, 7th in the conference at 147 a game. Good news is they didn't lose a ton of talent that they needed to come back. There's some guys that we'll talk about, particularly at middle linebacker, that they definitely could have used. But in general, they return a lot of the guys who saw a lot of playing time, who they needed to come back, and they made some good adds that could make a big difference. So we'll break this down position group by position group, see, you know, where they could improve on some of the last year's lackluster to kind of poor numbers.
Yeah, so definitely one of the things, you know, we talked about a little bit in the offensive side of the ball, but one of the things that you learn as I clip my earpiece on here, is that in this transfer portal era, you have to have portable systems, right? Systems that guys can learn right away. And that's why the air raid has become so popular, I think, with kids moving between programs, between schools. You have to have something that you can teach right away, that's simple scheme. And I think a big piece of why the defense played the way they did last year is there was a lot of scheme, because it wasn't so much physical errors. There were a few, but it was guys being out of position. It was not being gap sound. It was making mistakes that if you were just playing simple systems, for instance, Utah, they run a 4-3 cover one and they bring it. They bring a stunt every now and then. They bring a blitz every now and then. But essentially, they line up and play. And if you play that way, there's less mistakes because of scheme, because you're missing your read or your check or your adjustment. Instead, it's just physical mistakes. And so the Bears, there's a lot in their system. You have a bunch of defensive coordinators on staff. And I think, as every team is right now, kind of going through figuring out what can we play. And I talk to the coaches all the time. They understand this. How much scheme can we have in for the guys that we have? New guys learning. You never know it. You never own it until you've been in the system for quite a while. And so they understand it. And I think guys, either they have to get it better, guys have to understand it better, or they have to simplify that system just a little bit, because that will help guys play faster. Anytime you're playing faster, you're playing better on defense. Defense is about aggression and being gap sound. And if guys can do it, then they'll be a lot better. Defensive line, of course, a huge key. If you can get a pass rush, if you can disrupt the passer, if you can plug the gaps, right? Stop the run up front with the big bodies. It leaves your linebackers and safeties to tackle inside and your corners to cover outside. And so I think that's a big piece of it for the Bears, is they need to find some production on that defensive line. I'll let you go ahead and take it from there, Jim. You kick it off on the defensive line side of the ball.
So obviously the biggest loss is veteran defensive end, the types of tackle swing guy, Brett Johnson. Super strong guy, but man, he went through it with their injuries. He played fairly well last season, definitely not at full strength, but he'll miss him even as much as he could give them last year. They'll miss that production. The main returners that they're looking at are up the middle primarily, but some are swing guys. Ricky Correa is probably the strongest DL on that roster with 35 tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss, 2 sacks. Nate Burrell was a pretty productive guy. He was second on the DL in tackles. Stanley McKenzie is a big plugger. But you get back some guys that are capable if they're able to stay healthy. Derek Wilkins, Achille Calhoun, Ethan Saunders returning after a year off. He was one of their most productive linemen the year before, but who's to say if he's going to be able to stay healthy this next year? He's going to give it a shot, give it his best shot. If they can keep him healthy, if they can keep him on the field, that'll be a big deal. And then the biggest addition that they've got is Notre Dame transfer Aiden Hianaina.
Haha, see, you never have to do that spoken.
Try that one, Joe Starkey.
Yeah, Kaina Aina. So that's my best. That's my best Paulie name pronunciation that I can give you.
He had injury issues in his time at Notre Dame, but when he's healthy, he's a pretty strong plugger up the middle. But that's a position where I have my most doubts on this roster this year. Defensive line, they need to keep some of these guys healthy. They need to figure out how to get a little bit more pressure. They need to be sound in their play, and like you said, in their technique and their gaps and all that stuff. They need some better production out of that position for sure this season.
And pressure, right? You need pressure. You talked about it. A few of the guys, Saunders, very good football player when healthy. Calhoun has potential to be a good football player if he can stay healthy. And we can just go down the list, right? Stanley McKenzie, if he stays healthy, and ready, then he can be a good football player inside. And there's a difference between three techniques and ones and tech and nose guys, zeros. And so everybody's got their spot to play. Guys have to fill those spots. And the Bears have yet to kind of put it together fully. We hoped last year that Brett Johnson was going to get back to what he was originally, but that many injuries, big injuries like he had, takes its toll on the body. And so sad to see Brett going. He was definitely a stud. His leadership was a huge piece of that as well up front. But so a whole new group, Ricky Correa, a ton of snaps at the position, a guy who can really help out. And then we'll see, like you said, who fills in. I think Kaina Aina, we'll figure it out. I'll ask him. Had the chance, 6'3", 315, recruited by everybody. He's got the pedigree for sure. 77 tackles, 13 tackles for loss, 4 sacks, Notre Dame. Pretty good stat line. So hopefully he can help out a ton. Hopefully Cal is a great fit for him. But some edge guys, some rush guys off the outside, finding pressure will be essential. And again, so we have to put the caveat in there. We're trying to figure out the ACC, what it's going to look like, what the fronts are going to look like. They're going to have a different D-line body type structure than the Pac-12 had. And that's the thing about being back east and down south is just there seems to be more D-liners by nature back there. And so we're going to see what it's like getting into that conference.
Depth, you've got Yale, Jeremiah, couple of redshirt frosh to Afalava and Zurich Ashford. Don't know if those guys are going to be ready to produce or if they're going to be capable of producing. And then you've got a few freshmen coming in, BJ Kennedy, Legend Journey, and Michael Okwara. I think Journey and Okwara are likely to redshirt. Kennedy probably too, but he probably has the best chance of playing. He's the biggest guy out of that bunch at 6'4", 275. Had a lot of offers. It was a pretty good pickup, but it's a tall order to get a true freshman to contribute on the D line.
Yeah, it's one of those spots though, like we talked about it yesterday. If you can do something, it's like being a running back. If you can do something and you can contribute, you can get some snaps, right? You can get some pass rush. Maybe you get 10, 12, 15 snaps a game if you're contributing. And so if those guys are athletic enough, if they can pick up technique quickly enough, if they can figure it out quickly enough, then they can make something happen at that position. You'll find a way, one quarterback hurry in a game can be a huge difference maker on third down. And so if you're the guy who can get that done, you can see the field of the defensive end. It's just like being a running back.
Bring down to Art, which makes it even less likely that they'll play. But Kennedy's got the size. So we can do on the spring if he can acclimate fast.
Yeah, we'll see. And again, the stand-up 6'3", 250 guy, outside backer, hybrid guy, maybe. We'll see. Again, young guys, you never know with young guys. This is what I say about recruiting all the time. I said it last podcast. I'll tell you when they show up on Saturday whether I like them or not. And so that's a big piece of it. Once those guys start showing up, then we'll see. Backing them up, linebacker crew, and I say backing them up, our outside linebackers serve as defensive ends as well. And actually, at the outside linebacker spot, as you go through the list, I feel decently confident in that spot because you have David Reese back at the end of the year. David Reese was on a tear, right? He had 2 3-sack games in a row, played really well. Miles Jernigan, who's physical at that spot, 6'3", 235. He can run, a guy who played really well. And Xavier Carlton is back. So your two starters are both back, right? Your bookends are back with a year of experience, a lot of snaps underneath their belt. And so I kind of like that outside linebacker group coming back as it stands right now.
Yeah, I like the Lutz too. Miles Williams and Ryan McCulloch surprised a lot of people. He got on the field and did some really good things, yep. Even though it was a pretty loaded position. So I was impressed with that.
Yeah, for sure. Both those guys added, like we said, those defensive ends that we listed off below too. You know, Journey at 250, he could potentially be an end slash outside backer. It's a hybrid thing. So let's talk scheme. Whether it's a 4-man front or a 3-man front, it's a 4-man front because your outside linebacker becomes your rusher. And so it's all about body types and the guys that you have to play that position. And so outside linebacker can be a rush guy. Defensive end can be a rush guy. It doesn't really matter. You can play both, whether you, if you can stand up or put your hand in the dirt. It just changes that way in terms of your thinking schematically. It doesn't change a ton because it's all about how many guys you're rushing with. And when you look at it on film, guys will denote how many rushers, right? How many guys were pursuing the passer. And that's how you denote what type of defense you're playing rather than 3-4, 4-3 as they're listed by body type. And so, you know, that defensive end could be a hybrid in college football these days. And a lot of teams are playing that nickel 2-5 stuff where you've just got two big pluggers up front who are gap, you know, eaters, and they eat up blocks. And then you have linebackers running around every other spot. So there's all kinds of opportunities, and the Bears love to play that nickel 2-5 look. So there's all kinds of opportunities for guys at that spot. Any other thoughts on outside linebacker before we move on?
No, just that what you see is what you get. They didn't really lose anybody. They didn't really bring anybody in. They just brought back a lot of returning talent. I'll expect a lot out of that group this season.
Yeah, and a lot of production. David Reese turned it on at the end, so I'm looking forward to seeing what he looks like coming back. I expected a lot out of him earlier. Maybe it was just my predilection that, you know, he's an SEC guy coming from Florida. They're known for rush guys, and it was all in my head. And so I was looking for a lot, and then early I didn't see it, but then late in the season he really turned it on, so I was impressed with that. And I'm hoping that he just continues that into this season. That would be great. Okay.
The production would be huge from him.
Oh, would be huge. What a difference maker on defense, because that's what you're always trying to figure out if you're a coordinator, is how do I affect the passer and stop the run? And if I have to bring an extra safety, then I have to expose myself in coverage, right? So if I want to affect the passer and I can't get there with that defensive line, outside linebacker unit, then I have to bring a safety too. And now my back end is less safe. Or if I sit back, then I don't affect the passer and he has all day to pass. And so as a coordinator, that's always, you're picking your poison on that front, unless you've got four dudes up front that get home and win. And if you've got that, then you can be a fantastic coordinator. And so that's what Coach Wilcox and Coach Sermon are looking for this year, is some guys up front that can make it happen, be it a combination of outside backers and D tackles and nose guards. Whoever it may be, they're looking for that combination to affect the passer and stop the run and let the linebackers play in space and let the safeties play in space as well.
You got it.
So let's move on. Inside linebacker, Cade Uluwabe. Love him. Showed up last year as, you know, this kind of freshman going crazy, very green, not a ton of experience, but a bunch of instinct. And they, you know, early on, they're like, well, we're going to have to see what happens. You know, Jack Sermon gets hurt and he ends up having to play a lot. Obviously, Caleb Elarms-Orr transfers out. And so now it's really kind of Cade's room, because he was the standout dude, making interceptions, making tackles, was just all over the map, was a fantastic football player. I believe he's a freshman All-American, right?
Yes, and he was the freshman defensive player of the year in the Pac-12 too.
Yeah, so really good football player at that spot. And so I love the fact that Cade is back. Excellent player. Look forward to seeing him grow. And he's one of those instinctive guys that just goes and makes it happen. You program him with just enough, and he runs and hits and makes plays and reads on instinct. And those kind of guys can go a long way, because your knowledge of the game grows. And as it does, now you add that instinct to your football IQ, and it makes a huge difference. So, Cade, I'm looking forward to seeing him. Go ahead.
If we would have said mid-season that this guy who didn't start a game up till the last six games of the year is going to finish with almost 70 tackles, two forced fumbles, one for a return touchdown, two picks, freshman defensive player of the year. If you would have said that was coming when he was just the special teams guy, essentially, and even moved to running back for a little while for a couple of games when they got filled in the running back group, if you would say he'd accomplish what he did the back half of the season, you'd think you were nuts. I mean, just what he accomplished is just insane. You know, they did lose some good talent there. You mentioned Caleb Uiagalelei and Jackson Sermon. They also lost some key backups, Blake Cancelados and also Mo Iosefa. Those guys were injured pretty frequently. I think, you know, sometimes when you have depth guys that can't stay on the field, you kind of need them to move on to make room for guys that are going to come in and compete to start. So there's a dynamic involved sometimes in these departures that, you know, sometimes people don't understand, but there's more forces at work sometimes that just a reality of the college football game these days.
Otherwise known as strategic departures, right?
Yeah.
And I can't help you, right? There's already so many reps going around. And if you're not getting reps, then you're not getting better. And if you're not getting better, it's hard for you to penetrate that starting lineup and to make plays when you're counted on. So,
yeah,
getting some reps for guys, for backups who were taking some reps and then getting hurt, not seeing the field, will be helpful. At least you can get through your Rolodex and see who you've got at that position, right? Yeah. Nate Ruchina, another guy we know coming back. He 2 years ago was really productive for the Bears, another Monta Vista product. And we knew he was a very good football player for the Bears, played really well young at the position and was injured for most of last season, didn't play injured a lot. And so he's a guy that I think if he is up, ready to go and in, you know, fighting shape, that he can be a difference maker at inside linebacker for the Bears as well. Also, I know you loved Hunter Barth. He was everywhere. We called his name on everything on special teams. But at that middle linebacker spot, a little bit light, but scrappy.
Yeah, he put up some good numbers late in the season. He looked kind of lost when he first made the transition, looking at him in fall camp, and didn't get a lot of reps the early season. But when they needed him to play late in the season, he looked more comfortable, and he got to be pretty productive out there as a backup up the middle. And Sergio Allen's the guy that they're hoping will be healthy and be able to contribute this year. He was a Clemson transfer. Definitely got the athleticism and the size and the quickness inside. Would like to see him play. But I think probably the biggest key is the addition of UC Davis inside linebacker transfer Teddy Buchanan. He was the number one inside linebacker portal, number one rated inside linebacker in the portal, and that's a big addition. He'll slot right into that position right next to Uluave in all likelihood, and hopefully give them some good production there too.
Yeah, you watch his college film. Now he's playing at the FCS level, but he's a dude that moves around, hits, runs. He can play the position, and so no doubt about it, the sports leader ranked him as the number one portal transfer, as you said. A guy who can be an impact guy right away. And I think it was Cal's top guy on defense they were going after, or one of the top guys they were going after. So a huge pickup, a huge get for the Bears. He just travels, you know, right down the 80, and he's in Berkeley. And so it works out for everybody. He said he loved Cal coming out, got recruited a little bit, didn't get the offer. And so he's glad he feels like home already. So good for him to be back at Cal. We're happy to have him. Obviously, he can contribute immediately and add some, even though he hasn't been with Cal, he can add some leadership at that position for a guy. A couple of the young guys coming in, Sergio Allen. That's what I was going to talk about. Sergio Allen, I expected him to transfer out of Clemson, looked really good in camp when he came in last year. I thought he was going to be a guy that was going to contribute right away. Obviously, injuries last year hurt him. So he's a guy that can also contribute at that position. Talk about the young guys, the high school kids coming in who have some tools. I know Ferrelli being one of them coming out of SoCal and Carlsbad. Some of these guys, pretty good, three stars, athletic. They can run. I know Ferrelli ran a 4.56, pretty talented, 37-inch vertical jump. So that shows some physical skills.
Yeah, very athletic, very hard-nosed kid, real competitor. He was a Stanford flip late in the process.
Oh, I love it when we flip from Stanford.
Seems like it goes the other way a little bit more often, but these days the tides turn. And then Isaiah Zondu is a bit of an undersized middle linebacker coming from Texas, but an athletic kid. It'll be interesting to see how he'll develop in the program too.
Yeah, so inside linebacker, I don't know that we're super deep, but there are some good options early there. And so I like that. You've got four deep, which is good. You'd like to be, you know, five or six deep at that spot that you feel you can trust. So if you have to go with Kade Uwolawe, obviously, Buchanan, obviously, Sergio Allen, I think very good, Nate Rechina, there's four that you can feel very confident with up front. Hunter Barth filling it as that fifth. So maybe you do have five that you feel really comfortable with running and hitting, and then see who shows up. You know, some of these guys, we don't know. We'll see how they show up kind of as spring ball unfolds and going into fall. There's always those surprise names that you didn't expect. Caleb Armstrong was one of them, right? He had to step up, and he hadn't shown it, and all of a sudden he comes out of a shell, and he's something special. So he's a dude that made that transition, and I'm sure somebody else or two other people will this year. We're going to fall camp. Coaches will be like, well, this guy really showed up in spring. This guy really showed up in fall, because it happens every single year. So that inside linebacker position, very dependent on that defensive line. Again, it always goes back to the big guys up front. So that's a huge piece of it. Let's talk about that safety spot where I feel really good about safeties. You know, we had talked about the returners at outside linebacker. Well, at safety, you got some dudes coming back who have been so good for you in the past and have showed up at the position in that you have Craig Woodson coming back for one, Noel Williams, who played inside, kind of played everything for the Bears, little nickel, little safety, little corner. You got some dudes in there, some veteran experience, some leadership that I think set the tone at that position.
Yeah, and Miles Williams has been a solid backup.
Yeah, Miles Williams as well, sure.
Matt Littlejohn played both nickel and safety.
Played a ton of. He really showed up at that nickel spot last year. So he's another guy too, a transfer, you know, in that made a huge difference for the Bears.
And then I really like JC safety Isaiah Crosby coming in. Super productive, a JC All-American, five picks, five pass breakups, a bunch of tackles. He'll compete to get some good playing time right off the bat in all likelihood. And he's a spring enrollee, so he'll get a chance to get acclimated quickly, too.
Huge difference. And 27 scholarship offers by some big programs.
Yeah.
So the dude's got some legit chops on him. We'll see what he can do at this level. But he looks really good in terms of paper. He looks really good in terms of teams that have offered him. He looks really good on film. Now it's all about how he meshes into this team. So he's a guy that adds a lot at that position. Jairus Smith, JC transfer out of San Mateo, another guy at that. You know, so you have some transfers coming in. The Bears did very well with transfers the last couple of years at that position. And so we'll see how those guys kind of transition into safety, DB. I kind of mix it all together with so much nickel these days, right? There are some pure dedicated corners, but you need like that safety nickel corners always go in. Remember Cam Bynum was a corner, but then he was also a nickel. And so it all kind of mixes together there. But that safety position, I feel really good about the deep middle for the Bears this year with a couple guys back there who can get it done. Now let's talk about corner, that corner position. Noel Williams, again, mixing it out there, and Lumaja Hearns, Lou coming back. He's had challengers every single year to his position, and he continues to have challengers. He's got talent. Obviously, size is a big piece for him. I think Lou is in position a lot, but size is an issue. And so every year, competition at that position, guys are going to be competing for the spot. This year, we have Idaho transfer Marcus Harris coming in, and he is a huge get for the Bears, 5'11", 185. And you were talking about his speed before he actually went on the air.
Yeah, he was timed at 4.2 in their spring timing this last week, which is crazy fast. That'll help him a lot in coverage, being able to match up with some of the speedier receivers they see next season. Super productive too. 51 tackles, 5.5 tackles for loss, 3 picks, had a pick 6, 10 pass breakups. He's got a real nose for the ball, so that'll be a strong addition. I strongly expect to see him push to start. He's going to give Hearns a run for his money.
At 4.2, you're going to see the field. You have to with that kind of speed. Even if it's as a return dude, you got to see the field. But yeah, I would expect he's a pretty big get. You're going to see him play that corner position and lock up and help that defense out there. Because even if he gets beat, he's got makeup speed. And so it's funny that the college coaches now are using FCS, or college, I say, the Power Four bigger FBS schools are using the FCS as kind of a farm system now, right? The high school kids are getting screwed in that you're not getting as much recruiting down to that level from the FBS schools. But the FCS schools are now starting to produce these players who are then, you know, they get a couple of years of seasoning and they're going on to the FBS level. And the coaches just believe they don't have to teach them to be college players. They understand what that's like now. And then you step into a big program and it's even easier. So a lot of FCS transfers making a huge difference for FBS rosters. Good for the kids, good for the program. But as we talked about in the very open, this thing, you have to learn how to make that mesh and how to teach kids your system very quickly.
Definitely. Well, freshman additions I like, Dede Alpiu and Kamani Hudson, both those guys are very athletic and have a real nose for the ball. They almost play the defensive back position with an offensive mentality. So those will be a couple of interesting guys to watch coming up too. I don't think either of them are spring enrollees, so it's hard to get on the field if you're not there in the spring. But
yeah, if you're showing up in August, it makes it tough.
Yeah,
but that is one of those positions. If you're good enough, you can find the field either as a return guy or somewhere else if you've got the tools to do it. But the same thing I tell you about all the young guys coming in. Once you show up on Saturdays, then we'll talk about you in a podcast for real. But until then, I want to see your film against like competition. It's really hard. You know, I coached high school, and so I see high school guys all the time. But even then, it's hard to evaluate how good they really are because you're seeing them against other high school athletes. And the jump from high school to the Power Four level, now FBS level, is so big as opposed to, you know, just high school JC or FCS to FBS. It's not as big a jump. And even when I went from, you know, Pac-10 to the NFL, it was like one step jump. Whereas going from high school to the Pac-10, it was like two or three step jump in terms of speed, skill, size, all of that. And so it's just a completely different world. It's hard to tell what guys are like until you see them against like competition.
Yeah, some guys just get lost in the wash pretty quickly. You just see they're not going to be able to acclimate to this level of play. It doesn't typically take long to see it when you take a look at them in camp and if they get a little early playing time.
Yeah, and so. Coaches that are getting paid millions of dollars, right, that you miss all the time because it's hard to tell. And so I get it. Final thoughts on the defense?
Well, I want to also add Brooklyn Cheek as a safety that is Adam Modesto that they like a lot. Very athletic, talented guy. And then we need to talk about Nickelback. A lot of these guys we've talked about are swing guys. They have safety or corner, but the primary nickel guys have been Kalen Moore and Colin Gamble. It's a guy that's played a lot.
And both those guys have contributed for sure.
Yeah, and the Little John and then Cam Sidney. He's a guy that I've liked seeing him in camp. He's got a real nose for the ball. He doesn't necessarily pull in a lot of interceptions, but he has pass breakup skills like very few DBs that I've seen. It's really interesting. He just swats the ball right out of there. I'm a little surprised he hasn't gotten more playing time, that he didn't play more last year. Maybe it was a depth issue. I don't know. But hopefully he'll get his chance this year, too, and can stay healthy.
Yeah, that's the big thing. Got to stay healthy at that position. I mean, nickel guys, safeties, corners, nowadays in college football, they're just kind of all interchangeable. But you're right. Some of those names that we talked about that have contributed big time. And so it didn't do not to mention them.
So, we lacked in pass rush last year. That's for sure. But the defensive backfield was such a huge liability that they finished dead last in yards per game allowed. And I think my biggest source of optimism for this season is restocking on the defensive side and bringing in a lot of guys that I think are going to aggressively compete for balls where they played pretty soft last season, honestly. I expect that to change to a much more aggressive mentality in the defensive backfield this year. You'd like to see more pressure to make it easier on these guys, but they got guys with speed and athleticism added to the roster that can help solve for that if they don't get the pressure they need.
You can never solve for not getting the pressure that you need, Jim.
It's just help.
Just no, help. One ever, Nobody ever plays in a vacuum, right? And this is the ultimate comparison. This is going in my book. You guys need to get my book when it comes out and give you a heads up ahead of time. But I played in Miami, and you'd have thought I was the worst quarterback that ever played the position. I was awful because my offensive line was horrible. I mean, for God's sakes, they were awful. They got one of the players on the team from underneath a freeway overpass, literally. He was a three-strike out of the USFL guy who had been the defensive player of the year. And so they just – horrible offensive line makes for horrible quarterbacks. Well, bad defensive line makes for bad corners and safeties because if you're not getting pressure on the passer and they have the extra half a second to a second and they can sit back there and dial the accurate pass and the receiver – can get that extra move on you or stick his foot in the ground and the quarterback isn't guessing, but he knows the angle, all of a sudden it makes your job exponentially harder. And so to protect the DBs, great DBs always have great defensive lines. Like, you're not going to go out there. Deion Sanders maybe would go up and line up and, you know, win all of his one-on-ones without a pass rush, but that doesn't happen very often in real life. And so those dudes are so rare that you have to get a pass rush. So the Bears have to find a way to manufacture something up front, affect the quarterback. Tosh Lupoi, former Cal guy, Oregon defensive coordinator, is doing a clinic down here in the Bay Area this week. And his clinic speech is affecting the quarterback pre-snap, during the snap, and post-snap, because that's what it's all about on defense. Affect the QB and you change the game. And so hopefully DBs are better. And hopefully they're better because we get pass rush as well.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, look back to a game like Oregon where the DBs were trailing receivers consistently by as much as 5 or more yards.
Yeah, I know. Look, I'm not saying they can get it or they should be doing that. But the point being, if you hit Bo Nix, now he can't make that pass. So when you do blow it, he doesn't get away with it. And so, you know, it all works together. It's never in a vacuum, right? Everybody, the beauty of football is it's an 11-man game. And if any one dude is not doing their job, it can blow up the whole thing. And that's why it's so amazing, because of that need for connection, right? The connection that we have with one another. And if you have a great team that's connected with great culture, then you have something really, truly special. And if everybody's pulling on the rope and everybody's doing their job, then it makes it amazing. And so, yeah. DBs need to cover, D-liners need to rush, linebackers need to hit and tackle, and that's the way it's got to happen.
I think a lot of this season will really hinge on what kind of improvement the defense makes, and I think that's a big question mark going into fall camp, spring ball and fall camp, just to keep an eye on how they're developing in that area. It's a big question mark, and it's not going to get solved until we see it.
Yeah, and we only know because we're inside the Cal's program, right? But maybe every team around the country feels like that because there's so many transfers, guys looking for starting spots, guys trying to figure out where they're going to play next. And so maybe there's a lot of discomfort in terms of team turnover around the country. I just, like last year going into spring ball and fall camp, I didn't really know what to expect of our team. And this year going into spring ball, I know the dudes that I know, but I'm not sure what to expect from everybody else. And we're looking at, you know, 30% of the team where we're going to see a lot of new faces. And it's not like guys have been coming up through the program. We've got transfers coming in from somewhere else. And you had that every now and then in the old system, but not very often. Now you're having it consistently 30, 40% of your team sometimes turning over. And so I think it's a less stable college system now than it used to be, obviously.
Yeah, that's the hope. I mean, when you look at things like the portal transfer ratings where they measure who goes out and who came in, reason to be optimistic is that Cal was sixth in that. So, you know, they're moving out some guys that weren't necessarily healthy or productive, and they're moving in guys who were. So that's a big key to be able to make a quick turnaround, and that's the hopes that they've made good decisions on who they brought in this season.
Always a hope, and that the chemistry works together. Well, so that's it. That's our review for defense. Jim, appreciate you coming on with me again.
Thanks, Mike. Great talking to you again.
Yeah, Bear Insider fans, don't forget, share this out, right? Leave any comments for us. We'd love to hear from you as well. We love having you here. We love doing this. Always talking Cal football here at Bear Insider. You should hear the conversations when the cameras aren't running. It's great. Anyway, but you guys, we appreciate you listening, watching, following, and being involved in the conversation. For Bear Insider and Jim McGill, I'm Mike Pulaski. This has been the Ultimate Insider, and as always, go Bears.